Hey guys, good afternoon. I know you haven't heard from me in a while, but you are front row with Jackie Rowe. And, you know, today is a very special day for me because of so much emotions and stuff like that. And I said, you know, let me just tune in and express some of the things that was on my mind. And when I say today was a special day for me, it's because there's been a lot going on in the world. You know, of course, we're still in this epidemic of we call COVID, you know what I mean, and Corona. And it's just been really tearing people apart, taking people, loved ones from them. You know, and it's a lot that we're not really understanding about what we are actually living through, but we're actually transitioning in to another form of lifestyle, living. Everything is changing right in front of our eyes. And a lot of people are still stuck. And when I say it's a special day, it's because I do a lot of soul searching. I like to think and I like to observe and I like to, you know, help a lot of people in this, at the same time. But there's always a, you know, a time in your life where you have to fall back and think, who's helping you? You know what I mean? Who are the real people and the vessels around you to help and protect you? And, you know, we lost a great person yesterday, DMX, that I really loved and I respect. It was just something about DMX that I always loved and respect about him. I guess as a woman coming from the street, I was never, you know, given away to any homes or anything like that. But I did remember going from different homes and homes when I was younger in the Caribbean. When my mom was there, everything was great. But when my mother left, you know, we were left with two nannies. And, you know, that kind of dwindled down. And next thing I know, we were at people's homes, different places. And, you know, I guess we were just, you know, because it was five of us left. I had lost two brothers. So we was basically just, you know, being split up to stay at other people's home. And that wasn't a good thing, you know. And I remember those things. I mean, they're like a fixture in my brain. But I've been watching DMX from yesterday. I went back and I watched his whole biography. I watched a lot of his interviews. I watched a lot of the farewells that everybody were putting out, you know. I guess a lot of people can see that I really, really liked this, you know, this man a lot, because I did see a lot of similarity in it. Like, and I say again, keep coming back to, it's a special day for me because I take a lot of time now with myself, just staying to myself, thinking, analyzing, observing, you know what I mean? Just reading a lot and, you know, just taking in this whole new world that's getting ready to, well, not getting ready. It is upon us, you know, and, you know, the special thing that I loved about, you know, taking time to myself is I could get to really understand what's going on in my life and around me, and just in that I have grandkids, you know, getting them prepared, acclimated with what to come. You know, I have a 17-year-old granddaughter, a grandson that's going to be 12, and he's going through a lot because he's in Florida and he wants to come back to New York. And, you know, I don't think it's a great idea, but, you know, he misses New York, so that's getting ready to happen. But let me stay to the point. I don't know if a lot of people really understood DMX, but here's my definition of it. Hurt. DMX has been hurt so long in his career. I mean, in his life. Fuck his career. Excuse my language. He's a human being. He's a person that wanted love. He's been just like me. A lot of people see me as a strong woman, you know what I mean, a go-getter, whatever. Everybody has their eyes and how they look at me, you know, I appreciate it. But people don't really know what someone is thinking or what someone is going through or what someone is trying to evade in their life. And so we do a lot of things to try to make ourselves happy. Some people get high, you know, I'm not one. I tried everything when I was young, but it never stuck to me as something that was going to keep me going to make me feel better for that false moment. I'm more of an alert person, so I like to be aware of what's going on in my, you know, my circumference, everything in front of me. I have to be alert. I had to be growing up, I was around a lot of people, and growing up at a time in the 80s, everybody around me got high. So I used to have to always be the one to stay focused, to make sure that nothing happened to everybody else. Meanwhile, some is high out of the sky and nodding off or whatever happy. So I had to make sure that I was never one of those people that wasn't on point. So growing up, I always made it a conscious decision not to be high, you know what I mean? And, you know, that's for some people, but a lot of people numb the hurt with being, you know, high, you know, and I get it. And I think I might have cried a couple times, well, shed tears. Even today, what brought me to doing this podcast is because, you know, people are not clear on the perceptions of what they see on a television, you know, because it tells you a vision, but it's for you to take the vision and make sense out of it. And I think a lot of people did not understand DMX, and I got him. I got him from so early. I used to be on the video shoots, you know what I'm saying? I used to watch him. I mean, what I liked about him was his rawness. I liked that he was just so real with it, and I love real people. I just love that he didn't give a fuck. He would say what was on his mind. He watched everybody. He just sized people up right away. He could tell who was real and who was fake. Just sort of like me, you know what I mean? Like, and when I used to see him on the sets, I used to go to the video sets with them with the locks, and I used to be on his, you know, set and stuff like that. I said, God, you know, not only was he a realist and real when I used to be there, he was just so down to earth. Like, he was very shy. He was very quiet. You know what I mean? He wouldn't talk a lot. You know, he knew he had a job to do, so he came on the set. He did what he had to do. Talked to a couple people supposed to be his team, Rough Rhyme or whoever. You know, his girl was mad. His wife was always there, Tashara. You know what I'm saying? Who I loved and adored. You know what I mean? But it seemed like there was problems from then. Like, you know, peeling it back from when he was younger, you know, it did something to him coming from a family that, you know, his mom's was probably abusive, you know, going to places where he thought she was coming back and she never came back. All those things, I could tell you, by the time you get 4 years old, you're so smart, like 3-year-old. My granddaughter's 3, and I'm amazed with her vocabulary. I'm amazed with her intelligence. I am amazed with her storytelling, the things that she tells me, the things that she's trying to put together to explain to me. I'm going, oh my goodness, can you just please stay little? But it's impossible because, you know, the world is advancing, and I guess we as human are advancing, and I guess the younger generation, the babies are advancing on a rapid, you know, on a rapid climb. Like, they're just climbing so fast, like, I mean, in growth. And so I can understand how a child could remember so much. I remember things at 3. So for DMX, DMX was stuck probably around the age of 4-5 years old. He had taken in so much already that he understood everything. He understood love and pain. Like, you know, he understood that he wanted more love from his mother that he didn't get. You know what I mean? And these are just all my perspective. I'm not a diagnosed psychiatrist or a doctor or anything like that, but I have a life experience of being on this planet for 50 something years. So I know when I see certain things, you know what I mean, I adapt to it, and then my peripheral clue right in on it, like, okay, this person is really hurting. And so I saw that early, you know what I mean, when I used to be on the video sets with DMX and stuff like that, when 2000 and stuff like that, and just watching the whole thing is dynamic, because I was like, you know, I just loved it, the fire and that hardcoreness in him when he used to, you know, be singing certain songs, and I used to be like, yo, he's dope, and his voice was just so iconic, you know, that vocal cord was just like so deep. You know, a lot of times people think rapping is about, you know, telling a story. You know, it is. It really is. Now, let me not contradict myself, but you got to have that voice. You got to have that, you know, that punch that make you different, unique, because everybody can rap. Everybody can tell a story, but it has to be something about your bars and something about how you say them. You know what I mean? And that vocal point, that voice, It is what's going to make you or break you. And some people get by and some people get so far with it because it's a trademark. And DMX had that. That voice was unique. You know what I mean? And that hardcoreness and his whole style was just different. And so I saw that, you know, earlier with him. And then, you know, as years passed, you know, him getting more, you know, into things. And I realized that he was hurt another big time in his life when he had made a lot of money. He was on top of the world and he was doing his thing. And, you know, I guess he provided a lot to his wife, to Shara. And, you know, I guess he felt that she, you know, mismanaged a lot of, you know, the hard work that he put in. Like, you know, she didn't do what she was supposed to do. So that made him upset because he's a very, very sensitive guy. Very, very sensitive man. And he watches everything. He's far from a dummy, because when you can read books all day and educate yourself, you know what I'm saying, on what's going on in the world and current affair and what, you know, what you can grasp from a book, You don't need someone to say, here's a diploma, here's a certificate, here's a PhD and all of this other stuff, you know. No, you done certified yourself, you know what I mean? You done self-taught yourself. So you are very on point on what you needed to know and what you need to, you know, understand what's going on around you. So, you know, he's been hurt a lot of times. He's been hurt and he plays it off, not really plays it off. He goes through life pretending, not even pretending, but, you know, getting high. It was just this mechanism of not dealing with the bullshit, because there was so much bullshit going on around him that he just had to keep doing him. You know, he got to eat, you know what I mean? He stopped robbing and doing what he had to do in the street. And, you know, sometimes when you think you get into this world where it's supposed to be a celebrity quote on say world, that you think you're safe, you're really not. Because you get to see all the real heathens and all the real piranhas around you, and everybody trying to suck and take your blood. Meanwhile, you alive, and all the vampires them sticking a straw in your neck and just drinking your blood. It's a lot, you know, that people don't really get. You know me, but I felt DMX pain, and this is why I like him. This is why I'm on this podcast today, because I'm saying, if a lot of people out here don't understand what someone is hurting. You know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of people always say, oh, you so strong, Jackie, and you so strong. I'd be like, well, if I'm weak, who really give a fuck? You dig? When I'm weak, who can I really call? You think anybody cares if I have a sob story or I don't feel good today or if I don't feel like doing certain things? Nah, Nick, everybody wants to be attracted to strength and power. You know what I mean? So no one wants to be a strong. You could tell I'll give you a great example. When you're in a relationship with someone, or even if you know someone, and every day it could be a great day up until you have that one day when you just feel like you're just tired. You don't want to go on anymore. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying, oh, you know, when you have some friends that all could try to support you and this, you know, let's go, girl, and let's, you know, you can do it and all of that. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, if you feel that you just, you know, that's it, you know, or even if you had a sickness and you've been with somebody for years and loved them and, you know, they love you through sickness and hell, half of the time that shit is bullshit, because that person is not going to stay with you when you get real sick. They are going to leave you. They are going to leave, best to believe. And that's sad. That's the most saddest thing. I think that's the most hateful and deceitful thing on the planet Earth, is to be with someone. And not saying that it happens all the time, but, you know, most cases that's what really happens. You know what I mean? Like, people turn their back on you when they feel that, you know, they don't see you getting any better, or you not trying to get better, or whatever the case may be. And I mean, it's nobody's given right to stay into something if they don't choose to be, but where's the loyalty? You dig what I'm saying? That's where I'm at. Where is the loyalty? Where's the loyalty in helping someone to the end to say, you know what, I rode with that person to the end? But sometimes we don't get that, and then people just quick jump ship. And so when people see
people like a DMX out there. You dig what I'm saying? They look at them like, oh, he's just getting high. Oh, he's crazy. Oh, that nigga don't want to do nothing with his life. Oh, he's fucked up. Oh, da 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 da. You know, you have all these different sayings and all these different views, but you don't even take time to understand. Like, really. I'm looking at this shit from yesterday to today, and I'm looking, I'm going, wow, this man was really hurting, and all he wanted was love, real love. You know, I watched, Ivana Fix My Life. I watched him with his son. I watched him how he loved his son. He still showed his son. He said, I never stopped loving you. Why didn't you, you know, come and try to be, you know, my son? You my first son. And, you know, it was just really weird that he had this whole hung up about him kissing a girl when he was a little kid and had girls around him. I'm like, you know, that's what men do. I'm not saying it's right. But DMX was trying to say, but that wasn't the barrier to conversation. Like, you're my son. Like, I tried many ways to talk to you, to have conversations for you to just hug me and talk to me. You know me, but that's how I was already hurt in his own right by whatever he saw that turned him away. See, there's so much emotionals and emotions and people with people, you know what I mean? That we have to take the time to try to fix those things. That's what I wanted to say today. Why today is special? Because we're living and we're going through so much emotionals. You know, people that living are, a lot of people that are living through the mask or you know what I mean, behind the mask. We hide so much. You know, we move on and we don't have any real true supporters to try to help. You know, it's like ink. You know, like I could see where, you know, ink can never, ever, 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 ever come out of anything when you put it, when it gets a spot on it or gets on the clothing or something. It will never, ever, ever come away cleanly. And so if you spill ink somewhere and you're trying to get it up, you got to keep on. I mean, even if you know it's not going to come, just keep on wetting a rag, using different methods to try to get it out of your clothes or whatever happens. It's just the same thing with someone when they're hurt. You got to keep on with them until you cultivate them a way to make them feel good. Because let me tell you something, to be hurt, it's a hurtful feeling. It's a hurtful thing to be hurt, you know, and when you hurt, you just want love. You just want someone to love you and to talk to you, to continually just be there no matter what, how. It just looks like it's never going to be any use to that individual. But stop thinking that one day it would kick in. It's going to make a difference. It's just going to show them. But then there's going to be other things that's going to sidetrack that person, because there's all these other things. Trust, you know what I mean? Faithfulness. These are the things that people look for that are hurt. You know what I mean? They look for this type of team. Remember when I say trust and someone being faithful, when a hurt person is hurt, they need these ingredients in their lives. They need trust and faithfulness in their life. You know, that needs someone that they can trust, because right now when they're hurt and they're looking at everything and everybody that have hurted them and that has deceived them, they don't want to hear nothing, because they are hurting so bad. Like, I could just look at DMX and see the hurt. He is hurting so bad, and nobody, not to say that the whole Rough Rider camp didn't try to help him or wasn't there for him, but he had a different type of hurt. You know what I'm saying? It's a different type of hurt that people need, and, you know, need closure on. Like, he needed his mother. He needed somebody who, you know, I would say inflicted that hurt on him. He needed someone to clean up that ink. He needed someone at that time. If that had happened, you know, I'm not saying, you know, things wouldn't happen in life, but things would have been a little different going down the road, you know, and going on different highways and even stopping on certain service lanes. You know, it's life takes you down different trials and error. But in some cases, you always need, you know, to stop and refuel. And a lot of times when he stopped and he refueled, I guess he was hit with more deceit and more mistrust and more hurt. Every time he went to jail, you know what I mean, he had the time to stop and think and regroup, you know what I mean? But then he came home, came back home and found more drama, more, you know, deceitful shit, money was going, people were stealing. You know what I mean? He's a very sensitive dude, and I swear I see so much in this dude. Like, you know, like he like family, you know what I mean? But he likes people to protect his family, you know what I mean? And if you're not one of these protectors, he's not gonna like it. He's not gonna like it. And I guess when he tries to speak about certain thing, it's so much emotion, so he get real hostile. You know what I mean? He's holding so much, and so it's hard for him to get it out. And when he get it out, you know, it could come out like a raft, like, you know what I mean? Like very hard. And a lot of people might feel intimidated by it, but you know, he was walking around with a lot of fuel in his train, man. And when he blew, he blew. When he blew off that steam, he blew. And it was just all misconstrued. You know, I mean, I don't know DMX personally, but I'm saying, God damn, like, it didn't take a rocket ship to see his pain. You know what I'm saying? His pain was real. Like, his pain was on another level. Like, you know, he was just a hurting individual from young, having to go through shit. I mean, everybody got their story, but I'm just focusing on him right now. I'm just looking at what type of character this person was. You know what I mean? He was a good person, a very caring, loving person. See a man cry like that every minute, man, that's love. Like, he was filled with a lot of love and emotion. He wanted to give a lot of love and emotion to, you know, the people that he cared more mostly about. You know, he wanted to be a great dad. He was a great dad from what I can see, you know, and he loved hard. He really loved hard. You know, shout out to DMX, man. I swear, I really, really love that dude, because I just saw his pain through my trends, my little, you know, trend, my journeys, you know, being in the music game and being everywhere and being, you know, in the presence of him a couple times, you know what I'm saying? But it was a lot. It's a lot to see someone hurting like that and no one, I'm not understanding. That's my point. You know what I'm saying? Like, people, you know, it you can put all these doctors as famous people and stuff like that, and you know you look at people like, yeah, you know, like, what you coming with? What you gonna tell me now? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, do you really understand? Do you really want to know who I am? Can I confide in you and tell you some of my hidden, you know, secrets or demons or whatever, how I feel or what's going on with me, without you looking at me and then prescribing me some type of medication or whatever the fuck? You know, it's really fucked up out here when you think about, you know, the confidant that you can, you know, you hope to receive from having someone in your life, so you can just be able to tell them how you really feel without them looking at you and, you know, and thinking other than what it is. You know, like, I was a confidant to, you know, Mike for years, and I know most of his hidden secrets and shit, and I would never reveal them, because you just don't do that. You try to work with the person to help them. If you can't help them, you go your way. You know what I mean? That's how that is. You just take what you know, and you always remember that you tried. They know, and you know you tried, and that's it. But at least try. My point is, try to understand what certain peoples are going through in these lifetime changes that's going on in this world, right? There's a lot of hurt people. And always remember this, hurt people will hurt people. You know what I mean? It is just what it is. So I always say, when I do my speaking engagements, you know, and I talk to people about, you know, helping people, you know, I always tell people, like, you know, you got to be mindful. You got to thread very easily on the things and how you say things to people, because people are very timid, and they're in a very tangible place sometimes, where they just, you know, they just need realness, real love, just even a hug. Sometimes you don't even have to talk. Sometimes you just want to hold somebody, you know what I mean? Just get them a hug. You can look at someone and see that they just need a hug. You know what I mean? Or even just picking up the phone and just calling someone and having a conversation with them. People are stuck every day by themselves. They're in their homes. Some of them don't have anyone to talk to. Just pick up the phone and just call someone and have a conversation. You understand me? Just go by somebody and just, hey, you know, I was in your neighborhood. You know, you need anything? Like, These are the times that we have to show love. You know what I mean? Give love to receive love. You know, people are just going through so many very misguided information. You know what I mean? Just thinking crazily because they don't know what to think, so they don't understand. And they're making all these wrong sacrifices and making wrong moves and doing wrong things without any guidance. So the next time you guys have a friend or see somebody that's going through something, man, just talk to them, man. Just talk to them. Be a friend. Be a helping ear, you know. And DMX will be missed, man. You know, I just wanted to really just come in and just, you know, just talk about what I saw, you know, looking through his life, you know. And, you know, he was just very hurt. He's very hurt. He's a very... I could tell you DMX was a very loving person from my perspective. You know, he's a very loving man, wanted to be loved, wanted to, people to love him for who he is. He wasn't no sucker, so he didn't like sucker shit. You know what I mean? He didn't want sucker people around him. And if you hurted him, he wasn't going to forgive you that easily because he knew you knew better. Because if he knew better, he figured you knew better as far as the street life was concerned. You know, so, you know, shout out to DMX, man. This podcast is in memory of DMX. DMX, I loved you. You know, you was a G. I really respect, you know, the music is cool, but I looked internally behind the person that was delivering the music. I saw you, you know, and I just want you to know, even though you will probably never know, only in heaven, but I saw you and I respected you and I loved and understood you. Period. This is your girl Jackie Rowe, and I just wanted to come on today to, you know, talk about hurt. Hurt is a very dangerous thing. It's a very dangerous thing. Remember to love yourself, do something nice for someone, and thank you for being, you know, one of the best part of Front Row with Jackie Rowe. All right, thank you.